Blog Talk Radio.
It's amazing, I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe in. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing. I'm a monster, I'm a killer, I know I'm wrong. Yeah, I'm a problem that I never ever be solved. And no matter what you gave in, never gave up. I'm the only thing I'm afraid of. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing.
And a very good evening, and thank you for joining us. We are back. This is the Knicks at Night Show. Good evening. Welcome to the third season of the Knicks at Night Show. I'm Frank Dunn, and I'm joined tonight by my good buddy, my co-host, Mr. Tom Baffa. What's up, kid?
Hey, man. This is the week that the NBA season starts, and I'm very excited. I'm ready to talk some Knicks. We'll be taking your call tonight, 347-637-3680. As well as previewing the Knicks 2015-2016 season.
That's right, man. 347-637-3680. That's the number to call us. Talk some Knicks tonight. Are you excited? Are you disappointed with what happened over the summer? What are your thoughts right now? This is the last clean. This is the last chance you get to make your prediction about what's going to happen this year. 82 games ahead of us. What happened last year is no consequence. All good things. Clean slate. We're ready to go. Joining the Knicks at Night, the Knicks at Night Show tonight will be Mike Scotto of Sheridan Hoops. He's going to join us in about 25 minutes or so. Talk some Knicks. He's a good friend of the show. So that'll be a good time. We'll get Mike on to talk some Knicks.
And as always, this podcast will be available for download immediately following tonight's show on Stitcher and iTunes. You can follow both of us on Twitter at Frank Nutt. At Tom Baffa, 2 T's, 2 F's, for your latest news regarding our upcoming shows.
That's right, Tom. And we'll also have Peter Aturi, Sean Aquino, and Greg Armstrong joining us tonight at different points to kind of preview the Knicks season. It's their last chance, really, to give some predictions about who's going to win a championship this year, who's going to be the scoring leader. Who is going to be the most improved player? Who's that guy that was in college last year that's going to make the biggest impact? So tonight we're going to talk all about that stuff. We'll have Mike Scotto coming at you. I'm excited, Tom. Are you excited?
I'm always excited. I love basketball season. You know, because when basketball season starts, that means the holidays are right around the corner. That means just – it's great. You know, Christmas basketball is one of my favorite days of the year. Plus basketball makes it great. I'm excited, dude. I'm getting amped up. I'm getting ahead of myself.
I'm getting excited too, and you know I'm really excited to talk to the guys tonight, talk to the callers about what their thoughts are, and who, every show that we do from now on, we're gonna have something that happened to talk about. But right now, There's nothing. There's nothing for us to talk about. The preseason's over. It's of no consequence. You know, it really doesn't tell what's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a major injury this year. Someone's going to break out. And this is the last night before the NBA season officially starts tomorrow that we have a chance to talk about it before it happens.
Yeah, man. It's good. What do you want to start with, Frank? Because we have a lot.
Well, I want your prediction. I want your prediction. Who's going to be the champion this year?
Who's going to be the champion? I believe it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going to work out the kinks. They're going to work out the kinks they had last year. That's what LeBron does. They go 1 year without a title. Like, it kind of did the same thing in Miami. Okay, they got together. They didn't win. But then they came back and they won. Because now LeBron he retooled the team. He's going to get the right people around. And I think they're going to be very good this year if they could stay healthy. That was the trouble last year. If Kevin Love stays healthy, if he's healthy in the finals, I think they win. And if Kyrie was healthy, they win. So that's just my opinion. So I think they're going to be healthy this year and they're going to win the title. But who do you think?
I am on the San Antonio Spurs this year. I love what they did in the offseason. I mean, they basically got two guys that were the alpha dog on their team to come down and to take less money in LaMarcus Aldridge and David West and to just put them next to Tim Duncan, who is probably one of the top five greatest players of all time. You have Kawhi Leonard, who's a year older. You have Danny Green that re-signs there on a Spurs-friendly deal.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. You know, the way that they – I watched a preseason game that the Spurs played, I think it was last Saturday or something. And they bring this guy, this 7'3 guy that no one's ever heard of. He wasn't drafted. And he looks good in their system. I mean, guys just come in off the street and look good in the San Antonio Spurs system. It's true. I mean, you go play for the Spurs right now, and Popovich would put you in a good spot and make you look good.
Right,
he'd give you, you know, you'd score 6 points and have five rebounds. Like,
that's true. Not true that I would go in and play well, but he could bring in different pieces. First of all, you can't teach 7'3". You can't teach height.
Right.
And you know what? If you have Tim Duncan showing you moves and stuff, those are the best two things you have going for you. Like, you're 7'3", and Tim Duncan showing you post moves and the system that you're about to play in. So you're going to look like a superstar. Plus,
arguably
one of the greatest coaches ever to coach basketball, you know, telling you what spots you need to be at. You're the man. You could become an all-star, absolutely. So...
Without a doubt.
I mean, the Spurs are always right there. But, like, as you said, like, Kawhi Leonard's a year older, so is Tim Duncan, so is Manu Ginobili, so is Tony Parker. So we got to see how they come out. I mean, Duncan, he plays like he's young, but you never know. Age could finally catch up to him this season. It's going to be interesting to see. And Manu, like, he has glimpses of his old self, but I mean, all of a sudden he could come out and play terrible for about a month, and then he'll come out and play like the sixth man of the year again. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where that falls and how well they play together this season as they're 1 year older.
No, absolutely. So, you know what, Tom? We're going to bring on someone right now, a man that needs no introduction. We're going to bring on Sean Aquinu from out in sunny Los Angeles, California right now. What's up? What's going on, Sean?
He just got in surfing.
What's up? What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, Sean. What's up, man?
What up, Big Tom?
So what's going on? You excited for the season?
Dude, of course. Yeah, I can't wait. Wednesday night, I can't wait to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. You guys know how I feel about the Bucks.
Right.
So it's a perfect opportunity. You know, Giannis is out. Fowler's probably going to be out. Carmelo said earlier. Carmelo said that he likes having some of the playoff teams early on the season to be able to gauge where they are. And that is going to be kind of interesting. You know, Knicks obviously have like 9 new players. So that new chemistry, you know, most likely they're not going to come out of it with a good record, but kind of gauge, you know, just and what they could do as they move on for the rest of the season, probably by the first 10 games of the season, we'll know what kind of team we have, you know. I just want us to, you know, be competitive and not give up and look like we have some chemistry. And I'll be happy with seeing that from the Knicks in the first 10 games of the season.
Oh, right. No doubt.
I think we're going to be competitive against most teams this year. I don't think you're going to see any games where, like, last year we lost by 30-plus. I don't think there's going to be,
right.
I don't think there's going to be any games like that where we lose by more than 15. I'm hoping. I think our defense is going to be strong enough we can combat some of the better teams. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, now Sean, I want to talk to you about this. I saw this today that in the preseason we were a top 10 defense. And,
right.
Statistically, anytime you put yourself in that top 10 defensively, you give yourself a good chance to make the playoffs. I think last year there were two teams that were outside the top 10 that made the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not likely to happen. And the Knicks, although preseason, were a top 10 defensive team. Does that continue for you?
I think it can. It's just that I really want to see who Fisher starts on Wednesday with a follow-out. I mean, hopefully, if he does go with Vucevic plays 4 minutes, then he sits down and Langston Galloway comes in, because Galloway is our best perimeter defender. I think he's shown that. And in today's NBA, as you always say, Frank, it's a guard-driven league, and you got to be able to stop penetration.
Right.
And you have to be able to switch and guard the three-point line. Everyone's going to be shooting three-pointers. So that's my concern. Is last year we were so terrible defensively in every facet, but especially in guarding the three-point line. So if you have slow guys, you're going to have Calderon, who's slow as hell at the one. Sasha might be slow. Then you put ourselves in a position where we're giving up a lot of three-point shots. The good news is Milwaukee is not a good three-point shooting team. I just don't see how you can start Sasha Vujacic, Jose Calderon, and Carmelo at the 1-2-3 and become a top 10 defense. But you know what? Washington was a top 5 defense. Milwaukee was a top 5 defense. And somehow scheme works. And I think Robin Lopez is going to help. But it's too early to know if that's gonna stay that way. We'll see. I hope so.
But, I mean, we have one of the biggest front courts in the league if you want to put Melo, Lopez, and Porzingis out there. So I feel like we could definitely stop the penetration. I completely agree. We need to have a little bit faster guards out there to stop three-pointers.
Yeah.
Right. This is what I think. I think teams in the NBA have to have an identity. Like, you don't have to be the tallest team. Or you don't have to be the fastest team. You just have to know what you do well and then schematically put a plan in place where you do what you do well. So if you're a tall team, use your length to your advantage and maybe not take as many chances putting yourself out of position and let guys drive into you and just have them shoot over a 7'3" guy or a 7-footer in Lopez. Or, you know, if you're a quick perimeter team, pressure the ball a lot and force guys to drive by you and to help. You know, I mean, figure out what you do well and then do it. And I feel like the Knicks haven't done that well recently, basically because they haven't had talent. But this year, find out what they do well and then put a game plan in place to exploit what you do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's going to be interesting. Will Fisher be able to develop? Does he have the chops from an IQ, basketball IQ standpoint, to be able to initiate that? He has his assistants from OKC, Jim Clemens, Kurt Rambis, but, you know, those guys, they're not necessarily a guy like Ron Adams in Golden State or this guy named Ermine, I forgot his full name, who just got hired in New Orleans, who was a defensive coordinator for Mark Jackson and made them a top 5 defense. So, you know, these are the major questions that are out there, and I don't know. We don't know. This whole year, to me, is the first year that we could really rate the job that the coaching staff does, because you have guys that should be able to play well. You have Lopez, Porzingis, who can guard the perimeter, who can switch a pick and roll, and Afalo and Galloway. Those guys play solid defense. You know, and Serafin's always been a good plus defender, and O'Quinn as well. So it's up to the coaching staff to build that team. You're right, Frank.
But Now, Sean, we're going to ask everybody this question tonight. But who do you think is going to win the championship and who is the MVP this year?
Oh, man. Okay. MVP is either going to be James Harden or Anthony Davis, one of those two guys. It all kind of depends. If New Orleans, to me, you know what, they're banged up. If they somehow stay above 500 and let their other guys get healed up and they're ready to play, Anthony Davis is putting up huge numbers and they're able to make the playoffs despite a rash of injuries, then Anthony Davis gets it. But I think Houston has the ability, because San Antonio may not be going for wins, to end up, you know, a top two team in the West. I think San Antonio would be resting, you know. If they end up with, like, the top two record in the league, I think Harden could get it, because last year he was pretty close. But, you know, my money is still, honestly, it's still on Golden State winning the whole thing. I think that I don't see where they got worse. If anything, losing David Lee made them a little bit better, I think, defensively. So I like Golden State. They won 67 games last year. They had the best point differential in the NBA in years, and they're still super young. I think Harrison Barnes, he's at that age where, like, 23, he still has the ability to take it to another level. If Harrison Barnes takes it to another level and Clay and Curry stay at that level, they have a backup center, I forget his name, but if Boga goes down, Azeli proved that he could play major minutes in the finals. I think they have the depth to get it done. And OKC is just too much of a question mark with a new coach and injuries. But they're there. Houston's there. San Antonio. They're my four teams to win it all. I don't think Cleveland has a chance. I think the champion's going to come out of the West this year.
Now, it doesn't scare you that the West is still pretty loaded and that, you know, obviously the first three rounds of the playoffs are much more difficult when you play teams like the Spurs and, you know, the worst team you have in there could possibly have one of the best players in the NBA in playing New Orleans with Anthony Davis.
All right.
So now, Sean, what are your top eight teams in the East look like this year?
Yeah, you know, they may have changed from the list that I made last week, because I don't remember the list I made last week. But I got Cleveland. They're going to end up with the best record. I think I have Chicago. Who else? I have Chicago, Atlanta. Oh, man, what the hell? Who else up there? And then I got Boston. I got Milwaukee. I have the Knicks. I know.
I don't blame you.
And I don't have Miami. Miami was the one team that everybody thinks is going to make it that I don't think is going to make the playoffs.
You know, their breakout star, Amari Stoudemire, is sure going to do a lot for them over there in Miami. So you got to watch
that. Right. He's already hurt. I mean, Spoelstra's a great coach. I just think that Dwayne Wade when you're relying on Dwayne Wade's health and you're relying on a guy in Whiteside who's known to be a nutcase who played well for 20, 25 games, and if Whiteside goes down, I don't know. I mean, what are they going to do? Luol Deng is
also not 100% sold on Whiteside either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so you're relying on these guys. And Dragic is great. I think Dragic is their best player probably. And Bosch, of course, is awesome, but I just don't – there's just so many possibilities of things that could go wrong. And I think the rest of the East got so much better to me. And I think Gerald Green and Amari Stoudemire on your bench, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be harder for them.
The breakout talent.
Yeah.
The breakout talent, Amari Stoudemire.
Sean, I wanted to go over this with you. I was looking at some Vegas odds before the show, and according to, I think it was the Borgata, the Knicks have the 23rd best chance at making the playoffs this year. You know, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can definitely see where they think, some of these teams, like Atlanta, the Celtics, Charlotte, Bulls, Cleveland, Dallas, Pistons, Golden State, Houston, Indiana, Clippers, Grizzlies, Heat, Bucks, New Orleans, Thunder, Orlando, Phoenix, Sacramento, San Antonio, the Raptors, Jazz, and Wizards all are projected to have more wins. Crazy. It's crazy to me.
Orlando, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, there are like five teams there that are crazy. Indiana has Ian Mahimi, a rookie, and Miles Turner at center. Monta Ellis, who, he's not a good defender. George Hill and Paul George Samir, they're only really good players. And somehow, you know, Indiana gets the benefit of the doubt. Orlando, because Scott Skiles is there, they get the benefit of the doubt. They have a lot of great young talent, there's no doubt. The only teams that I'm concerned about that would be, I think there's going to be like three teams fighting for the last spot. And I think that that's going to be Detroit. I think somehow Stan Van Gundy, they have a system that he likes now. With Monroe out of there, they can space the floor with shooters around it, Reggie Jackson, Drummond, pick and roll. Then Detroit's going to be right there. And I think in Miami and the Knicks, I think those are going to be the three teams at the end that are going to be fighting for the spot, the last spot.
Oh, no doubt. Well, so Sean, before we get you going tonight, we normally do Fast Five with the guests we have come on. So we want to give you a crack at the Fast Five. You ready?
Let's do it.
Over or under 30.5 wins for the Knicks.
Over.
Okay. Porzingis will play more than 20 minutes per game, yes or no?
He'll average like 21 to 22.
Okay.
So very close.
In the first 20 games, we will see Grant take Calderon's starting spot, yes or no?
Only if he's injured. If he's not injured, Calderon's going to stay as a starter.
Okay, one word to describe this Knicks offseason would be?
Solid.
Okay.
And besides Carmelo Anthony, who's the most important Knick this year?
Robin Lopez. If Robin Lopez goes down, then the Knicks season is over.
Really? So with all that front court depth that we get this year, you're putting everything on Robin Lopez?
Well, I think he's a guy that, like, think about it. If Calderon goes down, you got Grant. We want to see him. If Afalo goes down, we want to see Galloway. If Melo goes down, well, you already said, not counting Melo. If Porzingis goes down, O'Quinn plays more, Seraphin plays more. If Robin Lopez goes down, then you're relying on Kyle O'Quinn to be your, you know, your main center guy, your main center there. Porzingis is going to play more than 20 minutes a game. Seraphin's been showing that he's injury-prone. Amundsen, I don't think, can be an everyday center. So, to me, looking at the whole thing, I'm okay with Calderon going down. I'd say Robin Lopez is the one guy, man. I think he's vital to this team to become a better defensive team.
The only thing that I say about Lopez getting injured, I agree that he's vital. But I do think if he goes down, we see a little bit of more Porzingis at the five and maybe Melo at the four. Which kind of intrigues me.
You stick
Grant out there with Galloway, Aflalo, Melo, and Porzingis. I mean, I can mess with that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, man. I would love it. I think Porzingis ultimately will end up being a five. And if we were 1 year away, I would, like, that would sound great to me. But I just think he has so much to learn. And Robin Lopez is, to me, the captain of the defense, the guy who, everywhere he's gone, he's made his teams better defensively. He's one of not only the best garbage men in the league, but, like, statistically, numbers-wise, his offensive rebounding, he gets about two or three buckets a game off offensive rebounding. His setting of screens, he's one of the best pick-and-roll players. I mean, he's just so many little things. He's going to be very much like Tyson Chandler in that sense. When we're going to see all the little things that he does, and I think, I don't know if that's replaceable.
Oh, no doubt. I completely agree with that. You know, that's definitely. Tom, what do you think?
I agree. We just keep talking about it. I don't know. We're beating a dead horse. It's all hearsay right now for what we're talking about. I'm just too excited. I just wanted to start. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
We'll be able to reassess a little bit better after we see them, you know, come out and play. So,
right.
We'll see.
All right, Sean. So, now you guys, are you guys doing another show this week or no?
Well, tomorrow night I can't, and then we play on Wednesday. So I don't know, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. I'm not really sure. We're not settled yet because I'm unavailable, unfortunately, tomorrow night. But, yeah, when we do, it'll be usually it's Greg and I with Pete, and I know we might have a guest, but I don't know. You guys usually have the top guest. You guys are going to have Tommy Beer on in a little bit, and he's awesome, man. So yeah, we're not really sure yet, but we'll definitely tweet it out when we figure it out.
Solid. And that's at Sakinu34. You can give Sean a follow. He's a good Knicks follow. If you want to argue, just make sure you're prepared that he may call you a Bucks fan. So if you disagree with anything he says, he may call you a Bucks fan.
Well, Frank, we have to talk about, like, I'm almost, like, inspired, like, after the game on Wednesday night, we should maybe do a show where you and I just talk about the Knicks and the Bucks for 2 hours.
I'm okay with that. Although, I just want to see how,
you know who loves the,
like,
Bucks? Frank loves the Bucks.
I do. If I was Jason Kidd and I could coach the Bucks right now, I would literally just stay up all night, like, thinking of ways to just zone up teams and use my 6'7" point guard.
They're so
with my
big
7'2" 3 guard, and my, you know, I would use John Henson a lot. And oh my God, I can't even. You know,
Frank,
I like their roster. I do.
Moving to Milwaukee.
Man. He's going to take the Greg Monroe route, you know. He's just going to take the small market, you know.
Perfect.
But, no, I mean, there's no doubt. If you're Greg Monroe and you're offered, you're going to – I really believe that Monroe wanted to pick the team that gives him the best opportunity to win. And obviously Milwaukee has that. Like you said, they're 10 deep. They're young. They have this core that's going to grow together. I just think that Greg Monroe is going to put a fork in the whole situation. I mean, I think he's such a negative defensively for me. He's just so slow-footed. He's like everything that the Milwaukee Bucks aren't. You know what I mean? And that's where I think the problem might be.
I think eventually they'll
figure it out, but I just don't think they'll figure it out soon enough to be a 45-plus win team. You know, I think they'll be right around 500, and that's fine. But I think in the future they're going to keep on getting better and better.
I think so.
They're
going to be a force to be reckoned with in a couple of years. They're very good now, and they're all just going to get better together. So
right,
yeah.
All right, Sean. Well, we will definitely catch up later in the week. Definitely tweet out if you have a show coming up. That's Sakinu34 to give Sean a follow, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Yep.
Take it easy.
Have a good one.
Later.
That was Sean Akinu right here on the Knicks Night Show. So it's always great talking to Sean. We're going to keep it moving now. We have a couple calls on the line. I know we got Pete coming up soon, but we're gonna jump out and we're gonna talk to Mike Scotto now from Sheraton Hoops. Hey Mike, how you doing?
Hey Frank, what's going on?
Not too much, man. Thanks for getting back to me in such short notice. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. What's up?
Not much, man. We're excited for the start of the NBA season. I'm sure, you know, you're sick and tired of all the preseason talk, the summer trade talk. You want to start seeing some basketball now. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of crazy. The season's starting tomorrow already, and then Knicks and Nets get underway, so it'll be busy, but in a good way.
Right.
It's
so
exciting, man. It's that time of year.
That's it. So in the last couple of days or so, Jerry West, Charles Barkley, and some others have picked the Knicks to be a breakout team this year. Are you buying any of that, or is that just for TV?
When I did my season previews for the Knicks at the start of the preseason, I didn't have them as a playoff team. And looking ahead, I think it's going to be tough for them at this point still to make the playoffs. You still have teams like Atlanta, Cleveland, Chicago, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee, you know, Boston you can make a case for, Miami, Indiana that could just as well be better than them. You can even make a case for Charlotte as well. So I think for the Knicks, it's going to be tough. What I like about the Knicks through the preseason that I've seen with them is their front court depth is pretty good when you have Lopez, Porzingis, O'Quinn, You have Seraphin, and you could put Melo at the four at times as well. So I think they're deep in that regard. Jerry and Grant showed me some things where I felt that he was a promising young player coming out of the preseason. It'll be interesting to see how long Jose Calderon can stay healthy. We've obviously seen that Aaron Aflalo struggle to stay on the court, and that's a major concern for them because, you know, between Aflalo and Lopez, the Knicks thought that they had acquired two starting caliber players in free agency, but it just seems like Aflalo can't get over his hamstring injury at this point, and it's kind of a mystery as to when he'll be back. So I think that's going to be a tough pill for New York to swallow. They needed Aflalo scoring at the start of the season, and he can't just put the offense totally on Carmelo and nobody else. Aflalo was picked to be the number two guy. So we'll see what happens. And also, just one other guy I failed to mention earlier about the front court, Derek Williams also had a good preseason
right.
as well, where he showed flashes. So I think New York's strongest asset is their front court depth, and it's going to have to carry them through the start of the season with Aflalo missing time at the two-guard spot.
Okay, so let's go right into it then. So who's going to replace Aflalo on the starting rotation right now?
I mean, you would assume Vujicic at this point, but, you know, Sasha is not nearly the defender that Aaron Aflalo is. And,
right.
You know, I think that's really one of the main reasons that New York felt okay giving him a deal this year and a player option for next year. Looking at Aflalo. So, really, they don't have many other options. I mean, you could theoretically put Langston Galloway in there, but they like him better coming off the bench. So, I would assume Vujicic is going to get the start. But, you know, Derek Fisher's keeping it close to the vest at this point. And, you know, it doesn't give him any benefit to name anybody now. So, you might as well wait and see what happens. But the odds-on favorite as of now is definitely Sasha Vujicic.
No, in your opinion, Mike, is that the Knicks' best cohesive five that you can get? So, like, let's say everybody's healthy, and you have Aflalo, and you have, you know, obviously Porzingis at, you know, at 100%, and you have Calderon at 100%. What's your most cohesive five that the Knicks can offer?
Okay, so since you asked me for the most cohesive lineup, I'll say Lopez at the five. I'll say probably, I guess you could say Porzingis at the four, I would say, and then Melo at the three with Aflalo healthy. And I think Jerry and Grant at point guard.
I agree.
Just because
I like that.
Jose is a guy who can shoot the ball, and he's a smart basketball player, but on defense I think Jerry and gives you more. And he can get some buckets in transition. But one thing that's interesting with the Knicks, you know, if you're asking me if the top five best players on that team, one through five, then I don't know if I necessarily stick with that, you know, because you can rotate Melo and put him, well, I guess you could put Derek Williams at the four after what he's done so far in the preseason and put Melo at the three. But Porzingis brings to the floor with his shooting ability. You know, a guy like Robin Lopez doesn't stretch the floor as much, and Melo needs guys that can spread the floor to be effective when he's going one-on-one isolation on the wing. So I think that's why you're seeing Porzingis there. And, you know, New York wants to give him 25 minutes a night, roughly, maybe 30 max. So gives him an opportunity to not be pressured into having to, you know, score a lot of points. He can just find his way in the offense within the triangle and pick his spots where he's most effective.
Okay. Now, every preseason, someone stands out. We've had guys like Coldplay and Travis Ware, you know, play their way onto the roster. Who, in your eyes, is the standout guy for this preseason?
No doubt in my mind, Derek Williams. I mean, he wasn't like guys like in years past that played his way onto the team, but what Derek Williams did was solidify a role for himself as a consistent contributor, you know, getting 25 minutes a night, I think. You know, Derek Williams
okay.
is a guy that was a former number two overall pick, and the biggest thing with Derek was trying to find a position for him because people always wondered if he was a three or a four. But with Derek Williams, he's an athletic basketball player, and, you know, in the triangle, he's been able to find some spots, and he's become a better shooter than when he first entered the league, and I think that's benefited him. And you know, when he's on the break in transition, that's when he excels. So I would say based on this preseason, I think Derek Williams has made the biggest name for himself, but I wouldn't discount Kyle O'Quinn as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say, like, Mike, when you say, and we have Mike Scotto joining us from Sheridan Hoops right now on the Knicks at Night Show. It's funny you say, like, the Knicks top five, because to me, they're so front court heavy that I think, like, their most valuable players are all front court guys. And, you know, my only point about Calderon is that I think he's best used, like you said, in that shooter spot. I feel like when he's your lone point guard on the floor, your lone, you know, guard that's going to get in the paint, he doesn't do that. And the offense, to me, stays very stagnant. And unless you have a lot of outside shooters, you really can't rely on a point guard that doesn't get into the paint, because the Knicks aren't a team that are going to stand outside and shoot. And Calderon, when he's in the game, gets no dribble penetration. And to me, that hurts the flow of the offense, even though they are running the triangle. It, you know, teams don't have to worry about getting in, and they can kind of stay on Carmelo and not give the shooters as much room. What do you think about that?
I think with Calderon, the best way to put him in a position to succeed is high pick and roll, top of the key with Porzingis, a guy that can pick and pop. And, you know, if the defense, you know, segs towards Porzingis, Calderon can light it up from downtown. If not, he's smart enough, and he's been a proven passer over his career, where he can find the open teammate. You know, sometimes Calderon's a guy that can also get a hockey assist, in a sense, where he'll get it to Hildreau, a double team in a trap, kick it to the open guy, who then finds a cutter towards the basket or an open guy on the wing or corner for a three. Those are some features of the triangle you may see from time to time. So in that regard, I could see it. The thing that you mentioned about him being a shooter, though, kind of if you moved him off the ball and you put Jerry in at the one, the only problem there is there's going to be a defensive mismatch somewhere. I mean, no matter when he's on the floor, there's going to be a defensive mismatch, but you better be sure that Jerry and Grant can lock up the point guard he's going up against on the opposing side. And, you know, where does that put Jose up against the two? If he can't guard a one, then you're going to have a tougher time guarding a two that may be more explosive as well. So it's interesting in that regard. But, you know, Jose is a guy that more of his IQ and his calming effect on the team is what the Knicks like about him. They know they're going to give up some stuff on the defensive end, but at the same time, that's why they got a guy like Lopez to come in and protect the rim. And, you know, you can get the same type of benefit with Porzingis as well, because he's 7'3".
I kind of want to stick with defense a little bit. Knicks had a top 10 defense in this preseason. Now, does that mean anything coming into the regular season, or that's just a farce of a stat?
It doesn't mean anything in the literal sense, but it's encouraging. Anytime you see Carmelo Anthony giving extra effort on defense, it's obviously an encouraging sign. And I will say this, on paper, the Knicks improved defensively. Like I said, when you get guys that can protect the rim like Porzingis and Lopez that are shot blockers, if Carmelo asserts himself as a rebounder, and you have a Flalo who can play adequate on-the-ball defense, and a guy like Jerry and Grant as well. I think when you look at those guys in particular, they've improved I don't want to say mightily, because it's too early to say that. We don't know what the regular season, but again, they've shown encouraging signs of improving on that side of the ball.
Okay.
No,
you can really see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So now I'm going to go to Vegas a little bit here, Mike. Borgata has the Knicks the 23rd best chance to make the playoffs. Too high, too low, or right where they belong?
Usually they're pretty on point, so I'll go with a push.
Okay.
I mean, they're pretty, that's why they do what they do. They make it tough.
Right.
But, I think, you know, I'm trying to think, if as I look at the East right now, you know, the Knicks, I'd assume they'd be better than Philly. I'd assume they'd be better than Orlando. I still think they're better than Detroit, even though Detroit upgraded with some moves and getting Reggie Jackson for a full season now, and you get Andre Drummond continuing to develop. The biggest question is going to be in the East, like, can they overtake teams like the Charlotte Hornets, even the Brooklyn Nets? I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team either. I don't have them making the playoffs as well. So I think when you get into that bottom tier of the playoff picture in the East, that's where you're going to determine whether Vegas was right about that 23rd overall spot for the Knicks. But like I said, usually they're right, so I'll go with a push.
Okay. So, Mike, you've been on the show before. We have something like you. We call it our NBA Fast Five. Five quick questions, one-word answers. Ready to give a shot?
Fire away.
Over under 30.5 wins for the Knicks this season.
Over barely.
Okay. Porzingis will play more than 20 minutes a game. Yes or no?
Over.
Okay. In the first 20 games, will we see Grant take Calderon's starting spot?
Only if the Knicks are off to a very slow start. If they've won about 40% of their games, no.
Okay. One word to describe this Knicks offseason would be?
Encouraging, because you added two starters in Lopez and Aflalo, and Porzingis with the number 4 overall pick could really be a find for them.
Besides Carmelo Anthony, the most important Knick will be?
Aaron Aflalo.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think he's a huge key. I mean, looking at what Melo did when he had a consistent, you know, number 2 next to him a couple years ago, with J.R. Smith, and then looking what he has had, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, minus that 1 year, he's much better when someone else helps him. Now, Mike, one more thing before we let you go tonight. The Knicks acquiring Grant for Tim Hardaway Jr., to me, was one of the most was one of the best and low key moves that Phil Jackson's made with the Knicks. Do you see him continuing to make moves throughout the season, even though, like you said, they have found 2 or 3 starters, or do you think they stay packed this year?
They're always open to moves. I think if you're going to see the Knicks make any moves going forward, it's at the guard spots, because you know Flalo is kind of at a point where he's at the peak of his career, in a sense, in terms of being a guy that's in his prime. So you could always look to get a guy to replace him. You don't know if he's going to pick up his player option next year. And at point guard, I think eventually they're going to have to replace Calderon sooner rather than later. So you have Grant. You have to figure out if he's your point guard of the future or a backup. So those are the two spots you're going to see the Knicks look to upgrade the most right now. Other than that, they're pretty set in the front court.
Okay. Cool. Well, Mike, you know we always love you here on the Knicks at Night Show. We appreciate everything that you do and coming on with us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a good night. Take care.
You too, man. Thanks a lot.
Take it easy, Mike. That was Mike Scotto right here on the Knicks at Night Show, presented by Tom and Frank. What's up, Tom?
What's up, Frank? Just another Knicks season ahead of us. Getting excited.
I am excited, Tom. So, Tom, you know, it's pretty funny. So we have Mike come on last second. Now, we haven't talked any fantasy yet this year. Tom, have you done any fantasy leagues yet or any fantasy
not
activity
yet
for you?
No,
not yet. Are you going to or
Tom?
No?
Yes, I plan on it.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well,
tomorrow afternoon I'll start drafting something. I'll find
what'd
something.
You say?
I'll start.
What'd
I'll
you say?
Find a league tomorrow afternoon. I'm sure 1 or 2.
Right.
Just to keep me busy.
Right. Yeah. No, I got you. So our next guest we're going to bring on. He is probably one of the best guys you could possibly talk to when talking fantasy basketball. He's from Basketball Insiders. He's a good friend of the show. He comes on with us every year to talk some fantasy. We're going to bring on Tommy Bear right now. Tommy, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. We're glad that you could join us for a few minutes, talk some fantasy basketball. This is the hot time of year for you guys. How's everything going?
It's going well. And speaking of fantasy, I'd be doing a little bit better if Carson Palmer would throw another touchdown or two before the end of the night. And hopefully get a win for my fantasy football team. But other than that, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, if he does throw it, I hope he throws it to Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay, all right. That'll work for both of us then.
They're both on my DraftKings lineup. So anyway, you know, we'll get right into it, Tommy. There's four big guys on each draft board that I've seen so far, and you know, whatever format you play, whatever scoring you play, Anthony Davis, you know, Steph Curry, James Harden, Westbrook. Are these your four top guys in auctions? Are you breaking the bank to get one of these four guys?
Yeah, I'd be a little hesitant about Westbrook just because of the return of Kevin Durant. I think you got to push his stock down a little bit. I still have him seventh overall on my top 120 list. But I'm definitely a little – I'd be lying if I'd say – and I listen, what he did last year was phenomenal. I mean, it was literally insane. But with the return of Durant and assuming the Bach is healthy, you know, if those two guys stay healthy, it's impossible to suggest that he'll be able to match those numbers. So for that reason, I'd have – but the other three, I definitely got you. I agree with number one, and then Curry and Harden, kind of two and three interchangeable. I got Curry number two. But those guys are the cream of the crop.
Okay. Now, what's your preferred format? Do you like the snake versus auction, the roto versus total points? What do you like to do?
I prefer the roto, just because I understand that it can lead to some blowouts and kind of people disinterested halfway through the season, and the head-to-head, you know, kind of lessens the likelihood of that happening because it keeps more people involved and, you know, relatively close to the lead. But I think roto rewards the best players most consistently. You know, if you for the full year are dominant, it doesn't come down to 2 weeks in April, you know, when the Cavs are resting LeBron and, you know, the Spurs aren't playing anybody and you got to, you know, slide in, you know, Mo Williams, the guy that wins the championship for you,
right.
You know, that type of situation.
Okay.
Right. Now, Tommy, what guys are you specifically targeting this year? Because obviously, you know, Curry, Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron, all those guys go in the first round. But what guys are you really targeting as we get into rounds 2, 3, 4, 5 that you
Definitely.
Think are going to make a difference for every fantasy team?
Right.
Yeah, I think those are the guys that kind of, you know, the top 10 are no-brainers. When you get into the middle rounds, late rounds, those are, you know, when you can win championships and selecting smartly. So a couple guys that are my favorite, you know, quote-unquote sleepers would be guys like, you know, first and foremost, C.J. McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. Every year it seems we have one of those teams that kind of, you know, gut their roster. You know, in those situations, there's a vacuum that needs to be filled. So players are going to step in, you know. The Trail Blazers lost basically 4/5 of their starting lineup, you know, to free agency with Aldridge, Robin Lopez, Aaron Aflalo leaving town. So that leaves oodles and oodles of shots that somebody has to take, you know, assists and rebounds that somebody has to grab. I think, obviously, you know, Lillard's, he's a top 10 pick as well. But outside of him, somebody else is going to have to, you know, lighten the load a little bit and chip in offensively and, you know, take a bunch of shots. And I think C.J. McCollum is a guard that's, you know, played relatively well his first couple of years, but I think this is a breakout year for him. Another guy I like, probably my favorite, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is, I like him. I think he's going to be a superstar. But I think they're going to, you know, bring him along relatively slowly. I think he's going to be a stud in future years, but I'm not sure about the playing time. A bit of a crowded front court out there. If I had to go with one rookie in terms of value, it's Emmanuel Mudiay, the Nuggets. They're going to play a fast, up-tempo pace, you know, and Mudiay is a guy that it sounds like they're going to lean on relatively heavily. So I really like him as a value pick, you know, right around, you know, 80, 85, and, you know, eighth round, somewhere along those, somewhere in that neck of the woods. If you get him, I think you can get a stud in your hands, a guy that's going to put up huge numbers all year long. And then one other guy, kind of like late in draft, is David Lee in Boston. As Knicks fans, we know what kind of numbers this guy can put up on a bad team. He was buried on the bench in the Golden State last year once Draymond Green got at the starting lineup. But I think, you know, going forward, he's a guy that's going to put up, you know, big numbers if he can get consistent playing time at Boston. They do have a crowded front court, so that worries me, to be honest. But it sounds like he's been named a starter, so it'll be interesting to see how that situation plays out. But he's definitely a name I'd have highlighted, both in daily, you know, daily fantasy leagues and also year-long leagues.
Okay. Now, this is what I want to know. Who is a player that you absolutely avoid taking and refuse to take that other people love to take? Who are the couple people?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with whether you play in a roto or a head-to-head league, and I think a lot of people don't realize the vast difference in those leagues. Like, you know, for instance, a guy like DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, Dwight Howard, I'm not drafting those guys in my roto. If I play in a rotisserie league, you know, that is a, you know, nine category rotisserie league that counts for
right.
those. Because if you get a
right.
one out of 11, you know, in those categories, and chances are, you know, the guy shoots 40% from the free throw line, That can it's going to be really difficult to score 120 total points at the end of the year if you have a one in one category. In contrast, if you're playing a head-to-head, then I have no problem targeting those guys, you know, in their rightful place. Third. You know, every time I release the rankings, somebody's like, you have DeAndre Jordan 40. You know, he's not the 40th best fantasy player. You're right. If you're playing a head-to-head, he's probably in the top 15 because you only have to win is on a week-to-week basis, just win 5-4. It's basically the same thing as winning, you know, 9-0. So those guys,
right.
You know, those guys' values can kind of wax and wane depending on what league you want in. So anytime you know you go into a draft, just make sure what the settings are, you know, going into.
Sure. Yeah. So now I want to know how difficult it is for you to project points for guys that are coming off injuries. You know, obviously this being a Knicks show, Carmelo Anthony coming off a serious injury. You know, you got guys that you know like Kobe Bryant who's coming off an injury. How difficult is it for you to project their points when you sit down and you do your top 120 or your top 200 guys that you recommend, you know, for fantasy?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, fortunately with guys like Carmelo and Kobe, we know, well, Carmelo more, you know, Kobe's towards the end of his career now, but Carmelo, if he plays, you know what he's getting. I mean, the guy's a monster, you know, 24, 25, 26 points a game, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I definitely don't see much fluctuation there. The more difficult aspect is a guy like Aaron Aflalo, for instance, you know. Is it just a two-week injury? Does he rush back because he, you know, wants to prove he's, you know, he's worth that contract, and you know, once again, then does it become a month-long injury, and then you have to cut him? So those are the more difficult projections. You know, we don't know what type of role he's going to have in the offense because he didn't play much in the preseason. I assume Vucevic is not going to play all too well, so I think the Knicks will embrace him when he comes back. But it's those type of situations that's difficult to predict. You know, one, you know, if a guy that hasn't played much in the preseason because he's nursing injury and this is his first year with the team, you know, how many minutes is he going to get? You know, what type of, you know, are they going to feature him offensively? Is he going to get a shot? Those are the tough ones.
Okay. That's pretty
cool. Okay. So we want to get a Knicks at Night special, Tommy Bear, top five fantasy sleepers. Who are your guys?
All right. Yeah, we're going to go with Moutier, C.J. McCollum, D. Lee. If I'm picking two more, I think J.R. Smith is going to put up big numbers. Our old buddy J.R. Smith with Shumpert hurt. You know, I think they're going to, you know, I could see him, you know, outperforming his average draft value. And if I'm going to take a flyer, Miles Turner for the Pacers late in the draft. I think he's
okay.
He's certainly talented, so I think he could, you know, if I was going to buy a lottery ticket, he's one of the guys I'd get.
I like it.
Wow. Okay. Now, who, obviously this being a Knicks show, are there any Knicks that you target in drafts, you know, in any draft? And are there some Knicks that you're staying away from? Like, are you staying away from a Flalo, Calderon? Are you maybe taking a late flyer on Jerry and Grant or Porzingis or Robin Lopez? What's the Knicks fantasy outlook?
It's a good question. I mean, the worry, I was relatively high on Aflalo. I think if he was healthy, I'd definitely I'd be bullish on him and be very happy to take him, you know, somewhere in the eighth, ninth round, those, you know, mid to late rounds. But the injury definitely does worry me. If he slips too far, you know, it's the one, you know, late 10th, 12th, you know, somewhere in those range. I'd be happy with them. And the other thing is, if you're playing a dynasty league, you know, a keeper type league, I definitely, Jerry Grant's a guy I like. I think he's eventually going to unseat Calderon as the starter. So I guess that answers your other question. I'm not high on Calderon. I think if he's aggressive, you know, what you showed in the last preseason game, he's looking for a shot more. I think he could, you know, produce some favorable offensive statistics. But I think defensively, he's going to have a real tough time staying in front of people. So I think Grant's going to get the lion's share of minutes sooner rather than later, maybe even sooner. And I love Porzingis. I think he has a super bright future. Very excited to see what he can produce. But I'd probably shy away from him this year because I don't see him playing much more than 18, 20 minutes a night.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right about where I've seen them go in drafts and where I thought that they're going to go in drafts. Now, I wanted to get your take. I mean, I assume that you do all sorts of different fantasy drafts and things like that. You've worked with the majority of the websites that host these fantasy, you know, these season-long fantasies. I recently joined a fantasy league. It's 30 owners. You get $70 million salary cap. Auction draft, dynasty league, It's a little different scoring. It's head-to-head points with emphasis on rebounds, offensive rebounds, blocks. So very, heavy for centers, power forwards, things like that. It's crazy. Have you ever done a draft like that or a league like that before?
I have actually. There's a 30. I play in it. It started before I got into it. I got into it maybe 3 or 4 years ago. One of the guys that runs it is Rick Camler, the guy on NBA TV, and a couple guys from Roto World, Dr. A, and Aaron Bruschi, a couple of the guys over there. It's a great, super competitive league. 30 owners, 30 team league. So yeah, the draft is obviously nuts. All guys, NBA play-by-play guys and fantasy guys and writers. And it's really, guys that know their stuff. So, I mean, you get, Jay Crowder in my starting line. You get deep. You got to take, 1 year I'll never forget. I think it was, going on to 2011 now. A guy picked up Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin was actually drafted in that league. So when he came out and exploded on the scene, he won Dr. A the league that year. So it's those leagues are always fun because you're getting competitive, crazy stuff going on.
Now in those leagues, have you? Because I've seemed to find that I've thrown position out the window and I'm literally just drafting based on value. And I went in and I before the draft I put all the guys that I thought I went to different websites, I read some of the Basketball Insider stuff, I read the RotoWire stuff, and I found guys that would score very high in that type of scoring system where rebounds you're getting 2.5 points, blocks you're getting 2.5 points, offensive rebounds you're getting 1.5 points, defensive rebounds you're getting 1.5 points, shooting percentage or steals it's really high up there too. My first four draft picks were centers, because they had the best value to me. Do you find that in dynasty leagues like that, you draft more for value than for a position? I need a point guard and a shooting guard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's so tough to find any quality players that I agree. And pretty much most drafts, I find that's the kind of the mentality I take into the draft is, let me get the best guy available, and I'll figure everything else out down the road. If I have a great guy that outperforms his draft position, I can trade him for a position of need a couple weeks into the season, or I can, make a move here and there that'll address my what I didn't address the draft, but arguably get a better player than if I reach for a point guard and take Kyle Drone to round out my starting lineup. Let me take a better power forward, and even if he's a bench guy for a week or two, I can flip him for somebody that realizes they made a mistake in the draft. So that's usually my mentality, is get the best players available and then, figure it out as the season goes along. Because as we know, the NBA is a marathon, not a sprint. You got plenty of time to figure stuff
out. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I've never – because I've always done 10, 12, 14-team leagues. But this 30-team league, I mean, I found myself – I went after Andre Drummond. I spent about $25 million on Andre Drummond. I think Roto World had him as like a number three top player overall. And guys were blowing $30 million on Curry, and the normal guys you'd think. I ended up getting Ernest Kanter for $8 million. I ended up getting DeAndre Jordan for $18 million, and then another center for $7, $8 million. And basically, literally, my entire budget is going to be on centers, but I have four guys that are in the top 35 in the overall projection. So in a 30-team league, I think I'm sitting pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And, you may have been ahead of the curve and figured something out. A month into the season, a few weeks into the season, a couple months into the season, people may realize, wow, this is something I need to look into. Maybe I'll, you'll be able to trade from position of strength at that point,
Yeah, I'm hoping, but it's a new thing. It's definitely cool. It sounds like your 30-team league is pretty cool too. Anytime fantasy's cool. Anytime you can pretend like you're an NBA GM or owner, it's pretty cool.
Definitely.
So we have this thing we like to do, Tommy. Fast five questions, one word answers for our NBA insiders. We've asked you the majority of our fantasy questions, so we're going to do a Knicks. Fast five. You ready to give a shot?
Let's roll.
Okay. Over under 30.5 wins for the Knicks. Under.
Anthony Davis or Steph Curry, who are you taking number one overall in a snake draft?
Anthony Davis.
Okay. Porzingis will play more than 20 minutes per game. Yes or no?
No.
One word to describe the Knicks offseason would be?
Solid.
Okay. Besides Carmelo Anthony, the most important Knick will be?
Good question. I will say Robin Lopez.
I like it.
All right. Well, Tommy, we really appreciate you joining us tonight on the Knicks at Night show, and we look forward to talking again soon. Good luck in all your fantasy leagues.
Appreciate it, guys. Always a pleasure coming on, and good luck to you guys as well, and I'm sure I'll catch up with you guys down the road.
Thank you, sir. Right.
Take care.
Thanks, Tommy.
Have a good one.
That was Tommy Beer right here on the Knicks at Night show, presented by Frank and Tom.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Tom. You sleeping on me or what?
No, man, I'm here. You're just asking all the fantasy questions in the world, and I'm over here just getting lost over here.
Listen, man, okay. You live a fantasy every day, so I feel like it's nothing new to you.
Yeah, man. It's great.
Anyway.
So, you know what's funny? You know, like, I think just about everybody said when we asked one word to describe this Knicks offseason would be, they said solid. I think pretty much everybody said solid, and I absolutely agree with that. I think this is one of the best off seasons the Knicks have had in the recent history, you know,
sure,
where it's actually exciting to wait, you know, for the season to start. Usually it's, like, miserable, you know? But,
yeah, no, I think this summer gave Phil Jackson a chance to finally put his stamp and to start to move this Knicks team in a direction that he wants them to be in. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And where he's showing the New York fans that were protesting outside of the Garden not too long ago that he actually wants to make moves and make this team successful. And he did a lot to show those fans exactly that. You remember that?
Yeah.
When everyone was protesting?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, you know, do you blame them? You know, do you
absolutely
blame Knicks
not.
Fans?
I almost went.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, New York's supposed to be the mecca of basketball, and then we have just mediocrity for the last 15 years. It's not right. You know, you have the Giants winning Super Bowls, you have the Yankees winning World Series, and the Knicks are one of the laughingstock of basketball. I don't think it's New York is supposed to be the place where superstars come to win. So
and
that's where
and
we're at.
You know what?
And now we have a winning coach, a winning general manager, front office director, you know, operations, basketball operations. And I think this is going to be the regime who could hopefully bring another title to the Knicks.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a Celtics fan before when I was doing, you know, one of the many hours that I had to do for this huge fantasy league draft. And he was saying that he thinks that the Celtics are going to win a championship. So they won in 2008. They'll rebuild and win another championship before the Knicks make the Eastern Conference Finals again. And, you know, it got me thinking a little bit. And, you know, I was like, well, maybe. But then again, I'm like, you know, like I really had to think about it for a second. But then I was like, you know what? Like, I like the direction that the Knicks are heading. You can call me a fanboy, a homer, whatever you want, Brian Geltzeiler. You know, you strange, strange man you are, you know. And you can say all these things about Knicks fans that support their team, but I like the direction that they're going. And there's nothing wrong with liking the direction that your team is going. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, you can't be objective. You're a Knicks fan. You know, you take your fanboy hat off. Like, you know, I like the pieces that they're putting together. Do I think it's a finished puzzle? No, I think there's a few more pieces that the Knicks need to put together in order to make this team a playoff, consistent playoff contender. But I like some of the things that they've done. And, you know, I think that they'll be a 35 to 40 win team this year. I don't think they're a 30 win team. I think they're a 37, 38 win team.
You know what's funny? You know another team that's been mediocre for 15 years and also wears blue and orange that's doing pretty good right now? The New York Mets. And you know what got them to the position they're at? They've been bad for 15 years and finally have a whole bunch of pieces to put together. And now they arguably have the best pitching staff since forever. You know the how good they have an ace. They have three aces on that team. And you know why
right.
how they have that? Because they were bad for so long and they got draft picks and they got their farm system right, and now they have all these guys who are just striking everybody out and crushing it. And now they're in the World Series.
Yeah.
I see the same type of thing happening to the Knicks, where they were so bad for so long, they got the right people in the office, they got their farm team right, and all of a sudden they're going to come out of nowhere and be an unstoppable force in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Right?
You know, it's funny because, like, I'm looking at this sportsbook app, and you know I'm looking at all the odds to win a championship and things like that. And you know the Cleveland is plus 280, and San Antonio is plus 400, and the Clippers are plus 1300. Take a guess what the Knicks are.
Even.
No, Tom.
Even
money. Shut up. I'm just gonna give you a number here. The Boston Celtics are plus 12,500. What are the Knicks?
Oh, the Knicks have got to be about plus 18,000.
You're pretty close. They're plus 20,000.
Okay.
Plus 20,000. They're the 2, 4, 6, 8. There's nine teams with a worst chance to win an NBA championship this year. You want me to read you them?
Who's the worst?
The 76ers at a plus 100,000.
Okay.
Plus 100,000. The next closest, Charlotte Hornets, are plus 35,000.
Dude, 75,000. Dude, you put $10 on the Sixers, they pull something out, you win $1 million. Is that what? Is this right?
I think you win more than that. But
that's incredible. It'd be
worth it to throw
$10 down on them. You know,
right? It'd be worth it to throw $10 on a bunch of these teams, like. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah. All right. So, Tom, let's go through. I'm gonna ask you 10 different categories, and I want you to answer these 10 different categories, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll get on out of here for tonight. The regular season MVP for Tom Baffa this year will be?
Steph Curry.
The NBA Rookie of the Year this year will be?
Okafor.
Okay. Eastern Coach of the Year.
Greg Popovich.
Okay.
I don't know.
Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't know. Who was it last year? I don't even know who it was last year.
That's a good question. I forgot. Maybe Kawhi Leonard. I think it was Kawhi Leonard.
That's a good answer. I mean, I don't want to cop out with this. You know,
it was Kawhi Leonard. Right. I know DeAndre Jordan had like a chance, and he got screwed.
No, that's a good one. I'll go with DeAndre Jordan.
Okay. Who's gonna lead the NBA in assists, Tom?
Okay.
And who's gonna lead the NBA in rebounds?
I don't know. Who just went to the Bucks? Who's the big name who went to the Bucks?
Greg Monroe.
Sorry. Greg Monroe. Why not?
You're just rubbing it in Sean Akinu's feet.
I'm just losing. Right, it's getting late. It's getting late. Right,
I'm gonna run through these for me. So my regular season MVP this year is gonna be LeBron James. My NBA Rookie of the Year is gonna be Karl Towns. My Coach of the Year, I'm between Doc Rivers, because I think the Clippers have a chance to be the best team in the West.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned them much at all. That's why I said Chris Paul for the.
I think they're deep though, and I think they have a chance to be the best team in the West, best regular season record anyway. And I think that would get it for Doc. And in the East, I'm gonna say Jason Kidd with the Bucks, because I think they have a chance to win 48 games. And I think if they win 48 games, I think he could have a good chance to be Coach of the Year. My defensive player is going to be Andre Drummond. He's in a contract year. He's 7-footer. He's a beast. I have him on both of my fantasy teams. I want him to be a beast this year. So he's going to be my defensive player. My leading point scorer this year is going to be Kevin Durant, coming back from that surgery. I think he's going to lead the NBA in scoring. And my assist leader this year, I'll probably go Chris Paul. Chris Paul at about 12 a game. So there are superlatives for this year. Tom has the Knicks at how many wins, Tom?
I'm going to say 35.
35. I'm at 37. So we'll keep track of this show, and at the end of the year, we'll...
What's 42? I want 42, but I think it's going to be 35.
Yeah, I'd love them to have a winning record this year. 42 makes them 42-40. That's a winning record. I think that'd be awesome after a 17-win
team. If they could be just a couple games over 500, that shows glimpses that, hey, this team's really working hard and the front office is doing a lot, and then that'll bring some possibly another big player in next year. You know what I mean?
We
need to see progress this year. Or I don't think it's going to draw another big player till the year after. That's how I think it's going to happen. So we need a slightly winning record to bring another big name here.
I agree 100%.
Go ahead, Tom. Durant's going to want to go somewhere where he could win. We're talking about Durant, right? He's a possibility to come to New York. He wants to go somewhere where he's going to win, and he he's getting older too. So he's not going to want to go to a rebuilding team. I mean, he'll stick around a year to rebuild a little bit more, but he's not going to jump on a team that has 30 wins, in my opinion. Why would he jump on a team that it does? It might not be worth it for him to go to because he's not going to win. He wants to go to a team where he's going to be that last piece to push them over the edge and be the main, and win. That's it.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, Tom. I think the Knicks, if they're going to land that big free agent next summer, need to win 40-plus games this year. And do I think that's going to happen? I don't think so. But you know what? I am excited for the season to start. The Knicks season is 2 days away. The Knicks open up on the road against the Bucks. Hopefully they start off with a win, unlike last year when they lost to the Bulls at home last year, I believe, on opening night. And then the very next night, beat the Cavaliers, which I thought the Knicks were going to go all the way last year after they beat the Cavs. I was on cloud 9.5. Little did we know that they would only win 16 more games out of 80. So that was that.
That was really
and, tough. Tom. So we will reconvene next week, and we'll go over the first week of the NBA season and get all – we'll take some calls next week. We've been slacking a little bit on the calls. I feel bad for the callers that have called up. But next week we'll get to some of your calls. And we'll be back on the Knicks at Night Show with Tom and Frank.
Have a good night.
Peace out.